Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hi everyone, my name is Tyler Oakley, and you are listening to Psychobabble, an unfiltered half hour of gossip sessions, pop culture scrutiny, and stories we've never told in videos. It's not just crazy talk, it's Psychobabble. In today's episode, we discuss what hill we would die on, wedding social media do's and don'ts, our thoughts on The Politician on Netflix, and all of the Ellen and George W. Bush drama. Stick around, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow on Spotify, and live tweet as you listen with hashtag Psychobabble.
Good day.
Good day to you. Good day. Corey. Good day. Has it been a good day?
It has. It is a Wednesday, unless you're listening to this the day it came out. It is a Tuesday.
Or if you're listening to it on a Wednesday, it is a Wednesday.
Shit. Fuck me up with that talk.
We said once on the podcast, like, oh, it's blah, 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 like 6:07 p.m. And somebody tweeted us.
I saw that.
They were listening at 6:07, right when we said that. What does that say?
And I said, I hope this is not that fake news media that we keep hearing about.
Is Trump impeached yet? I don't know. We can't look into the future in a week, but who knows?
God, I don't know. Can we be fired for being homosexuals?
Who knows?
Well, I was going to say the answer is yes, still in 30 states, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what a positive way to start the podcast.
It's good times. It's great oldies. You know when people are like,
"What?
Gays already have all their rights. What could they possibly be fighting for?"
Who says that?
Oh, are you kidding? A lot of straight people.
I dare someone to say that to me.
Yeah, well.
I want to know?
What?
How come spitting in someone's face is assault, but blowing cigarette in someone's face isn't?
Go off. I feel like that's a great thing to...
Secondhand smoke kills.
This is your hill to die on.
Spit didn't hurt anybody. No, you know...
In fact, spit's kind of nice.
Yeah.
Please.
You know what is my new hill to stand on? What is it called? Is that what you said?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage, Hilda Stand On.
Okay.
No, Hilda Die On. Hilda
Die On.
Hilda Dion.
I think it should just be Hilda Dion.
Well, it's like Celine Dion. It's Celine Dion's little sister, Hilda. It's her play cousin. Okay, what's your Hilda Dion? I love Hilda Dion.
Baby, you can own it. You can have it. You can die with it. You can die as it. We can have a funeral for you as her.
Okay. Hilda Dion.
No,
okay, what was your Hilda Dion?
I've noticed this might be my new bullet point number two right after Pacific time, standard time versus daylight time.
Oh, things you hate?
I've gotten in quite a few arguments recently about how I hate people who think a bagel is a full meal. A bagel's not a meal. A bagel's not a replacement for a meal. A bagel is a snack. Don't ask me if I want to get breakfast and then be like, let's grab a bagel. You can fuck off. That's not going to fill me up. I'm going to be hungry an hour later.
Well, I think the proof is in the pudding when you order a breakfast meal at Cheesecake Factory and they say, okay, what would you like your bread side to be? You can get a bagel, you can get a English muffin, you can get toast. So if that is a bread side to a full already existing meal, then clearly Cheesecake Factory doesn't consider a bagel a meal.
Exactly. That's why I love Cheesecake Factory.
That's why.
And although I've never been for breakfast, do you do that often? Do they have?
I love Cheesecake Factory breakfast.
Really? What time do they open?
A Sunday brunch at 10 a.m.
Well, shit.
Yes. Fuck. And they have breakfast all day long.
No.
And they have a special Sunday brunch menu.
Do they have a skinny-licious brunch menu?
They do not. No.
Well, no wonder their menu is 40 pages long. It's got all kinds of meals and brunches and stuff.
Well, yeah. I like that they have all day breakfast. It's actually really convenient. I love a omelet whenever I want. Anyway, my point is, I think a bagel can be a full meal.
I don't.
And that's where we disagree.
If you put an egg on it and a meat?
Yes.
No, that's still like a little snack. Like, when you eat a sandwich for lunch, do you just eat a sandwich? No, you have like an apple and a bag of chips and like maybe a cookie. Maybe
okay.
Maybe a cheese stick or a string sure. cheese. Yeah.
Okay, so you just like, so you don't want just one. Would you ever have a burger and that be your meal? You want fries too. So
bitch,
what you're
yeah.
saying is you want a side with your bagel.
I think the moral of the story is I'm a hungry, hungry hippo. And like, ain't here for just a bit. People are like, oh, let's just get a bagel. No.
I like a bagel.
You know
my bagel
do.
Place.
I know.
What's my bagel
do.
Place called?
Bagel Broker.
Bagel Broker. I love Bagel Broker. And I haven't been there in maybe a year or so. They have the best coffee I've had in Los Angeles. Point blank, period.
Don't they have like a hazelnut moment that you love?
Yes.
Or what's their, do they have a Hawaiian something coffee you love?
They have banana coffee and I do not go for that.
Oh, shit. That's no. weird because I hate coffee. But when you said banana coffee, I thought, okay.
No. But I what's your go-to bagel order? I know it's not your full meal, but what's your bagel order?
I'm never gonna be happy about it. Like if I'm gonna have to eat a bagel, then yeah, I want egg and cheese and like sausage or bacon.
What kind of bagel though?
Oh, Bagel Broker have just a salt bagel?
Yes, they do.
Yeah, I was trying to tell my friends here in San Francisco. They were like, "What kind of bagel do you like?" And I was like, "I fuck up a salt bagel," and they were like, "That's not a thing."
Yes, it is.
I said, yes, it is.
It absolutely is. I like all my my breakfast foods to be savory. So like when people are like, oh, I want waffles or like pancakes, I'm like, maybe we get it for the table and we share it. But like, no, I'm not. I would never order. Yeah.
I mean, I can get down with an everything bagel. Like I like a cheese and like jalapeno bagel.
Yes. Yeah, you
I'm
get
not
it.
Here for a fucking raisin bagel. That Jesus.
Sometimes if I'm feeling like bonkers crazy, I will get a blueberry bagel and like a fruity cream cheese spread. But normally I like an everything bagel with the veggie spread. Now, that is where it's at.
You really are a gay.
Thank you.
Wait.
Thank you.
Speaking of Cheesecake Factory. I was listening to a podcast of this guy that I hooked up with, and he said on his podcast that he fucked somebody in the Cheesecake Factory bathroom at the Grove.
That was me.
And I, A, got a little turned on, and B, I thought, wow.
Well, where did the deed go down? Is it like in a booth or in
no,
the
no,
bathroom?
No. It was in the bathroom.
Oh. Well, that bathroom is, it's pretty... small. There's only two
is
stalls
it?
And one urinal.
I've never used it. I'm like, when I'm at the Cheesecake Factory, I'm not going away from the table.
It's actually way too small for how big the Cheesecake Factory is and how many people are there and consuming and are going to need the bathroom. It's like sometimes I'm in there and it's like cramped to the brim and I'm like, okay, there's only one urinal. You really planned it this way?
I guess I assumed it was the bathroom, but I guess technically I don't know. It could have been like an after hours moment. I mean, I really can't slide into his DMs and or text him and be like, hey, I was listening to your podcast.
You could.
I mean, I wonder if anyone that I hooked up with listens to the podcast without
my knowledge.
Absolutely.
I know there are people that I've hooked up with that listen to the podcast, and it's made me question what I've said on the podcast, if I've ever talked about them.
No.
Well, I don't know.
Well, that's why we don't name names and we don't name dicks.
Can I give an exclusive to the people at home?
Baby, it's your podcast. You can do it.
I feel like they, you know, they're close with us. They deserve to know the truth. They deserve to know how we live our lives. So,
okay, tell
if
it.
You are ever if you're ever at the Cheesecake Factory at the Grove, you don't have to wait in line. There are tables upstairs that there's like seven tables that are circular tables with stool areas that are first come, first serve. A lot of people don't know this. A lot of people put their name down and they say 45 minutes. They give them a little beeper thing and then they have to wait around and kind of just browse stores, go to Zara.
Bitch.
No, bitch. Go upstairs and just linger next to the seated area and you'll get your spot.
Yeah, bitch.
There you go.
Olive Garden has that too. And you just circle the table like a fucking shark. Yeah.
Sure.
I once got in a fight with somebody at the Olive Garden in San Francisco because it was a super long wait. And then the host told us like, oh, if you go over to that area, it's first come, first serve. And so we were doing exactly that. And we were circling and it was kind of by the bar area. And then these people started getting up. So we like rushed right over and sat down. And this woman came over and said, I was waiting for that. And we said,
well, it's
baby,
a little, it's a little like,
said,
okay,
baby,
well, does,
it's
does
first
each
come, first
table,
serve.
Does each individual table have its own line? And so, like, you just hope you get in the right line for the table? Or is it, like, or is it just if you're closest, you get it? Like, I don't know the politics of this.
If, listen, if you're not old enough to know, like, I mean, this shit happens at the bar, too. I mean, this happens when we go to, like, High Tops, and you're, like, all the tables are full, and you just got to, like, be on the ready. You got to be ready to pounce. And when they start grabbing their jackets, they start grabbing their purses. If you're an adult and you don't know that that's the way it works, then you need to figure
grow
it out.
Up.
Or at least not be mad at me and try to tell me that I took your table at Olive Garden.
So did you give them the table?
Hell no.
Okay. Well, there you have it. Okay. Well, good for you. You stand your ground. That's what it's about.
I really,
at the
nothing,
Olive Garden.
Nothing comes between my man and my breadsticks. What is it? Okay.
Nothing comes between me and my soup salad breadsticks.
Exactly. Oh, God. This is making me so hungry. We're recording this at, like, dinner time, and I haven't eaten yet. And maybe that's why I was really going off about the bagels. But
I made a new friend recently, but not really a new friend. Okay, it's kind of, like, complicated.
I find that, like, hard to believe.
Well, it's...
You
it's,
making friends at 30?
Listen,
did he friend in? So, did he friend in your mouth?
He has. So here's the plot. I ran into him at the music festival I just went to in Las Vegas, but we go back. And so I thought the first time we ever met was when we hooked up. It was a random hello. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, no, no. Do you not remember the actual first time we met? And I go, oh, God. He was my waiter at Olive Garden years ago.
Oh, my God. Wait, when
and
you
then
and
he
I
messaged
went?
Me. Maybe, I don't know. It was years and years and years ago. And then he messaged me on the apps, and after I had gotten some apps, and then he, then we went from there, but then I had forgotten our true origin story. So that's
and now y'all
that.
Are friends or what?
Well, yeah, I saw him at the,
and now
the,
he's a new friend?
The festival, and that, but at the festival, we were like, why don't we ever hang out? We had so much fun. So that's the that on that. That's it.
Oh my
that's
God! All. I am so proud. I am so Thanks. Proud of you making new friends in this economy.
Thank you, Corey. What did else we talk about the politician?
The show.
Did we talk about the politician? Yes, the politician. The show.
We haven't. I don't think so. I mean, I've got an opinion. I tweeted about okay. it. I tweeted something obscure, and somebody replied, and they said they knew I was watching the politician. It was the. I think it was. What's his name? Ben?
Yep. Ben Platt.
Is that his name? Ben Platt. Mm-hmm. That was Ben Platt in the bathroom, and he wiped the fog off the bathroom mirror with his bare hand, and I thought, nobody fucking does that. You get
oh my
a towel.
God. You know what?
You wipe it off. Nobody does that.
I don't do that. I blow dry my mirror. You don't blow
well,
dry your mirror?
I believe... I don't use a blow dryer. I'm a man.
It's, oh my God. It's the smartest thing you'll ever do. You don't have to smear it. You don't have to wipe it. You don't have to do any of these shenanigans. Once you blow dry it, it immediately starts. It is perfect. And you can blow dry a little circle and that's your face and you're good to go. Wow. I'm really
well,
giving
a
lot
a
of
big
life
face?
Tips, tricks and well, then you can do a bigger circle.
I mean,
don't
give all your DIY advice away in one podcast episode.
Did you watch
The Politician? Are you done with it? Knowing you, you've watched two episodes.
Yeah, I'm a few episodes in. I think I've watched four episodes. But I saw your tweet about wiping the fog off the mirror, and then I watched The Politician, and I said, "Oh, I bet you anything that tweet was about this moment on The Politician right now." I knew it.
Yeah, my one fan on Twitter replied that same thing.
Well, no, I
did
like
you
it
notice
so far.
That,
what?
Did you notice that they went to the Olive Garden on The Politician? And never has anyone ever been in a restaurant that looked less like the Olive Garden, and they tried to play it off as Olive Garden.
I thought the exact same thing. Wow, is this the Olive Garden Queens edition? We're really giving them the promo the attention.
And I guess...
What were you going to say?
I guess, like, it also, like, you, I don't, I'm only on the second episode, maybe, but, like, the whole shtick with that girl who's sick, and then people were saying that she's faking it, and I haven't made it that far into the season to find out if her and her grandma are faking the illness, but I thought, I'm just like, why does Ryan Murphy do these stories that were, like, actual real stories, and then he just does it worse? Like, I just hate it. I just, it bothers
well,
me.
Well, stay tuned.
Like, that
You'll
was a real
know.
Story. That was a real story. That was, like, a documentary you can watch on HBO called Mommy Dead, Mommy Dearest. It was also a Hulu show, which I didn't love either. And I'm just like, really? Like, why are you recycling the same storyline that was, like, actually told and told better?
And honestly, I understand that, saying. But it was very recent too, that like those stories were like having a moment in pop culture. So it very well could have been already a part of the show before that Hulu things popped up, like who knows, but it's kind of similar to when Bohemian Rhapsody came out and then won all the awards, and then what's that the Elton John one that came out right after that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Elton John one was very different than Bohemian Rhapsody.
I haven't seen the Elton John one. But my point is, once there's already something that's kind of like it already happening in pop culture, it kind of dilutes the effectiveness of the second one. Because it's like, oh, well, we just got something just like that.
Yeah, it was like, my coworkers were literally just talking about this they were talking about the Scream Queens show that Ryan Murphy did. And they were saying, like, there was this scene where there was a girl who was like a candle vlogger, which was like clearly ripped off from that girl who was like an actual candle vlogger on YouTube. And again, it just seemed so like watered down and not funny. And it just seems like he's trying to like use somebody else's idea as his own. And it just bothers me. I don't know.
Well, go
Don't hate
off.
Me.
My biggest takeaway so far from the entire experience is this not like this the exact same formula that he had with Glee, where it's like, okay, he's gonna find a Broadway incredible actor, musician, person, give them a vehicle of a show that's all about them and try to make this be their springboard? Because like Lea Michele on Glee. And Darren Criss on Glee, and I guess a lot of the Glee stars. But then Ben Platt, also like a Broadway star, given a TV platform by Ryan Murphy. I don't know. Maybe. I just kept thinking that. I'm like, wow, he really wanted to use Ben Platt for something incredible, and this was the vehicle for it. I like it so far, and Ben Platt is incredible, of course. Although, hearing River made me think of Miss Sarah Bareilles, criminally underrated Sarah Bareilles song.
Thank you. that was my next talking point, was watching that scene made me really think, oh, well, this definitely isn't Sarah Bareilles' version of The River.
I liked Ben's version. I thought it was really good.
I did too, but I just want to hear Ben sing Dear Evan Hansen. I will say, if anything, The Politician made me revisit the Dear Evan Hansen soundtrack, and for that, I am grateful.
Okay, that's fine.
Have you watched any of the American Horror Story that's out, the new one with Gus? I haven't seen a commercial. I haven't heard a lick of information. If anyone's watching and it's good, I guess tell me. I don't know.
I haven't seen, I've never seen, I don't watch. I've never seen any of the seasons of that. So no, I haven't.
You don't like Spooky Time?
You know, it's not really what I'm going to go for. No, that's not it. I was going to ask you a question. So I saw a tweet by our dear friend, Mr. Preda. You familiar?
I know him.
Mm-hmm. He tweeted, I can't stand it when people go to a wedding and post a picture of the bride and groom straight up. Like, let them have the reveal. If anyone tries to pull that on me and my man one day, I'll have them arrested, period. And I thought, oh my God, what a groomzilla. Can you imagine caring about anything? I replied, you're a groomzilla. Is this a thing? I feel like I've definitely posted content of the bride and groom or the groom and groom or whatever they might be before they have. Shouldn't they be busy? And aren't I supposed to be posting a boomerang right now? Like, they want me to hold all content until they're not being hosting a wedding.
One of my good friends from home from high school, her little sister's getting married, and it's a family friend, people I've known forever, and her wedding's going to be next summer. And I saw her post this really long article on Facebook about how her wedding's going to be like a no phone zone, and how it kind of had three different references, and it had like notes from like a wedding photographer, and I kind of agreed with it. So I guess I kind of agree with Daniel quite a bit. It's like, if I'm paying all of this money to have a photographer like capture the moment and capture great pictures, it's like, don't fucking stand out in the aisle when I'm walking down the aisle and try to take a picture of me. And like that, I kind of agreed with that. I'm kind of like, I don't know. Sometimes, yeah, when you see like moms with like iPads at a wedding taking photos, I'm like,
oh my God, can you imagine?
I'm like, nobody wants to see your blurry ass photo from a iPhone 4 or like an iPad. Like, I agree. Part of me was like, yes, put your phone away, live in the moment, like enjoy the wedding. I don't know. I read the article, and it very rarely.
I kind of get why people want the content that they are going to get. And I get why moms are like that. And they, you know, I don't know. I understand the thought, but especially in today where it's like, it's very hard to put your phone down or like not have your phone. I kind of agree though, where it's like, I don't know if I would ever do this to the people that come to my wedding, but I would understand if somebody's like, I don't want any phones at the wedding. And even at the reception, it's like everyone's just sitting on their phones at their tables instead of dancing.
Yeah.
And like, I'm like, okay, well, I got a DJ. Everyone come dance. Like, I don't want to have to do that, you know?
Yeah, that's how I feel. I mean, listen, if Madonna can like have her concert that she's like touring right now and the Madonna concert's like no phones, I think you literally have to like check your phone in like at the concert venue. Remember when you and I went and saw Brave in the city, the Disney movie, and they made us check in our phones?
No, but I believe you.
I guess that's what we're going to have to do for our weddings or Madonna concerts. I don't know.
Or the slumber party.
I think
party
for like
tour
big special
revisited.
Slumber party tour, the remix. Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of times in life, I'm that person who's like, put your phone down, like live a little in the moment, which is why I never have pictures and never have content and never have anything.
The problem with this, though, is at a straight wedding, you don't know who are allies to your community.
Who's looking to go to
the bathroom and suck dick. I need to have Grindr at a wedding just in case. How am I to network with the people if I have to turn in my phone at your dumb straight wedding? As an ally, you should let gays have their phones. Maybe that's it.
Well, maybe we should just push for an all gay table at weddings. Don't worry, you have to check your phone, but I'm putting all the cocksuckers at table 13 and 14.
I agree with that. I feel like when you are seating your reception, you need to be very conscious of who's gonna at least have a chance to fuck somebody tonight. Like, I don't want to be by who you think I'm gonna like hit it off with, who you think my new like bestie should be. Like, just put me next to the gays and we'll go from there. I recently went to a wedding and they did that, and I thought, you know what, this is sweet. Everyone at this table had other people they could have been sitting next to, but they really did us a solid by putting all the gays together.
God, I can't wait to make the seating chart at my wedding.
It's going to be great. Can't wait to see who I'm next to.
Very, very me. Oh, you think you're invited?
Oh. Do we want to talk about... do you have an opinion on the Ellen drama?
I kind of do.
Ooh.
I mean,
so a bit of context before we get into it. Ellen went to a football game. She sat next to George W. Bush. They were chumming it up, having a beer, laughing. She was posting social stuff on, you know, blah, blah, blah. They posted pictures of it, and people were a little bit outraged, saying, how can you possibly chum it up with somebody who is so opposite of what you allegedly stand for. And then she, so she had got some flack on social media for it. And then the next episode that she filmed, she did a little bit of an explanation saying, you should be able to reach across the aisle and be friends with people despite having things not in common and blah, 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 which I think riled up the people that were against it in the first place even further, because they were saying it's not even about, you know, being friends with somebody. It's about condoning behavior of somebody who's able to have that much power and who has used it in a way that is opposite of helpful to you and your identity and a lot of people around America. So do you have an opinion as we go into the holiday season where we are going to be encountering a lot of people with opposite opinions and political perspectives? Is there room to reach across the aisle for you?
I definitely agree and think, like, I've read a lot about this, and almost every gay person I follow on Twitter has tweeted about this and had an opinion about it. I was kind of right in the middle. I thought she's kind of right in the sense where, like, if she's going to sit by him at a football game and he wants to say hello, like, I mean, I would probably say hi back. I'm not going to, like, rip into them and be like, you fucking did this and that and blah, blah, blah. Because I don't know, like, how conducive that is to, like, having an actual conversation. I wouldn't, like, go over the top and be, like, super chummy with the person and really kind of describe them as my quote-unquote friend. But I don't know. I kind of saw pros and cons to both sides because I agree. And I think sometimes she does live in a celebrity bubble, and sometimes she doesn't realize the, like, I don't know, the actual hardships that other LGBTQ plus people are going through, and especially with everything that's going on with the Supreme Court right now. And it's like justices that not only Trump appointed, but also justices that Bush appointed are making a huge, like, landmark decision right now on whether or not it's okay to fire people just for being gay. So I don't know. I do like her message of be kind to one another. I do like her message of, like, being positive whenever possible. But I think there's a difference between being cordial with someone that you bump into unexpectedly and then, like, having a gay old time. No pun intended.
Right. And she talked about, like, oh, they go back and it's, you know, they're friends. And I think it's, for me, it's difficult because it's like, you can be friends with somebody who disagrees with you about, like, little things in life or about, even about some, like, political things, that it's just like a lot of people can have different opinions as to how we can make the world better. I think when it comes to somebody who uses their position of power to oppress people like you, I don't want to, I guess, chum it up with people who are the oppressor. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think I owe somebody who uses their power to oppress people like me my friendship or my time or my energy. So yeah, I understand, like, right, be kind, but I don't think they deserve me or my attention or my friendship, especially when they use their power to bring down people like me. And especially in the context of, like, today, where this week they are in the Supreme Court debating whether or not LGBTQ plus people have protections. And two of the judges that are on the Supreme Court were appointed by George W. Bush, who are conservative judges who are most likely not going to be protecting LGBTQ plus people. It's like, this is bigger than Ellen and George chumming it up. It's like, this is a person, right, who is systematically changing the culture of America because of his actions and negatively impacting the queer community as a whole, which I think Ellen's status and money and whatever she has makes her out of reach of the negative impact that the decisions will have in the Supreme Court. So maybe she doesn't really relate to it, but I think that just says just as much how what you were saying about how, like, is she really that relatable to the queer community, or is she really not a part of it? Like, has she exited the bubble? Or is she in her own bubble? Or, you know, all of those things. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know. It's she does so many like kind things, and she obviously is such a important person in our culture and does spread so many positivity. But I feel like there's this like reoccurring theme where she supports people like George W. Bush or Kevin Hart or that just like keeps popping up like every 6 months. And it does kind of make me question, like, are you looking at the bigger picture here?
Right. And it's I agree. Ellen does a lot of incredible stuff and a lot of powerful, impactful stuff. She has for decades. She paved a lot of ways for a lot of people. But I agree. That does not absolve anybody from being called out when their behavior seems counterproductive to the message. And I do understand her message has always been be kind. But I disagree with that, that maybe not everyone deserves kindness. I think when somebody is oppressive toward you, you don't have to be kind to them or coddle them because usually that just benefits the oppressor, not the oppressed. So that's how I feel.
Go off.
Go off. Anything else you want to talk about today, Corey?
No, I mean, listen, we hit that 30-minute mark and I'm hungry.
I get it. Well, don't have just a bagel. I think you deserve more than that today. Corey, where can people find you?
I am at Bagel Boy 4. Bagel everywhere.
Boy. Bagel Boy 4. And
that's boy with an I.
I am Let Me Be on Grindr at Your Wedding.net on TikTok. Oh. I'm on TikTok now.
Ew.
Did you just know that? You follow me.
Do I have to download TikTok and take my name before someone else does?
You should. I think that's a good idea. Do it right now. So find us on TikTok. Corey, have a good life. See you next week.
Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.